self-destruct. Lot, at this point in his life, he's at a place where everything that has happened to him thus far, he cannot blame anybody. Have you ever been there? I mean, we messed up our lives so bad that, you understand what I'm saying? We may want to look to somebody to blame, but we really can't. And sometimes we do. You know, if this person didn't do this or if this person didn't do that, and we blame others sometimes for what we ourselves are responsible for. Can I tell you this? Lot is a master manipulator. See, here's what happens when you become really exposed to the world. All of your Christian values takes back seat. It's kind of like this. The Bible says, to him who knows what is right and does not do it, it is sin. But Lot is in such a sinful condition that he does not care anymore. Have you ever been there before? Where you just get to the point where you just don't care who you hurt, what you do, how it affects the people around you. Come on, help me somebody. And let me say this. Jesus on the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Correct? But here we find that Lot is in a place, in a position where he doesn't care. And you know, when we get to that place in our lives where we just don't care, have you ever been there before? Or you just, I mean, listen, right there, you're like, man, I don't care who I hurt, I don't care what's going on, you know. And that's Lot's mindset. He thought that he had gotten away with his plan. He thought that he had gotten his way. But in all actuality, he didn't get his way. In all actuality, what I say is that Lot had self-destruct. And can I tell you that self-destruction is self-sabotage? It comes with a lot of different things. Self-destruction comes with abuse. It comes with idolatry. Self-destruction comes as a person self-destructs. It's hard for them to appreciate what God is trying to do in their lives. Sometimes we take for granted waking up every morning. Sometimes we take for granted, amen, that God saw us through another week. All may not be good, but all is well. Yeah, you may have had some uncomfortable situations that happened to you this week, but can I tell you something? You're here this morning, and you still got something to rejoice about. Can I tell you something? The thing about Lot is Lot has lost all appreciation for the Creator. He had lost all appreciation for the finer things in life because he has now put himself in a position, come on, help me somebody, where he was just thinking about himself. Have you ever met a person like that? Where all they think about is self, where it's just about them. So God now is dealing with Lot because Lot is pleading not to go away from safety, but to stay around Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't want to move out the hood. He just wanted to move one block over. Come on, help me somebody. See what I'm saying? Now I told you last week, that he was a millionaire and he had become very prestigious in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I believe Lot was so in love with the world that he wasn't willing to give it up. Can I help you with something? Sometimes the things we fall in love with can destroy us. And can I tell you something else? That Lot had what I call a stronghold. This is our breakthrough month. Everything I deal with this month is going to be about breakthroughs. But there are some people who want a breakthrough, but they don't really want it. They like the idea of a breakthrough. But to get the breakthrough, it takes work. And so I told you that a couple weeks back that Lot is still fighting, number one, against the will of God. Number two, Lot is still stubborn and ungrateful. Lot is still manipulating. Remember I told you that? He's still in love with the world. He's still trying to save himself. I'm so glad that I found out that I'm not powerful enough to save myself. I'm so glad that I'm grateful that God showed me, Derek, I can change your life if you surrender your life to me. But we're not talking about an unbeliever here. Let me just talk to you for a minute. We're not talking about an unbeliever. We're talking about a man who's righteous. First Peter says he's a righteous man. Righteous Lot, where his soul is being tormented. Let me ask you something, you righteous saints in the house. Amen. What do you do with your convictions? What do you do with your convictions, knowing that, watch this, you know the Lord, but yet we're still stuck in a situation? So verse 21, if you back up, you can see that in 19 it says, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness. This is Lot's conversation, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will what? Overtake me and will die. Remember, I told you that Lot is manipulating. Listen, Lot knew the Lord, and he knew that if he didn't have the strength to get to the mountain, that God would have given him the strength. Sometimes you're asking a person to do something, and they're giving you all kinds of excuses because they really don't want to do it. They really, really don't want to do it. They're telling you, yeah, but you know, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can do that. And excuse after excuse. But here's the thing, Lot is not just giving excuses to man, he's giving excuses to God. Listen, the average person would have, listen, if it was up to us, I would have left. If it was up to me, I would have left Lot right down there. Why waste your time? But isn't it awesome how God loves sinners? And especially those saved by grace. You know, the lesson that we're learning from Lot's life is that the righteous will never be forsaken. Come on, help me, somebody. Yes, we have our moments. We are not perfect people. But the beautiful thing about God, he will always try to rescue you and I. I love my Jesus, y'all. And I love him for that reason. Because no matter what it looks like, guess what? He can get me out of my mess. Are you with me? Watch this. Lot says in verse 20, now behold, his preference. It says, now behold, this town is near enough to flee to. And remember I told you, we're getting back. It is what? It is small. How you go from mega to minor, to minute? In other words, he didn't get a downgrade. He got a downgrade on top of a downgrade. Come on, help me, somebody. He went from the mansion to his mama's garage. Oh, I've seen that happen. Oh, I wish I had you. I've seen that happen where you can't trust your own child to be in the house, so you got to make a room in the garage for them, because if you leave them in the house, oh, I'm talking to somebody here. Come on, I'm talking to somebody here today. Come on, somebody. But watch this. Can you imagine going from major to minute and still think that you major? Tell your neighbor, that's a mentality. God is trying to rescue this man to give him blessings. But this man wants minute. Look at it. Look, he went small. He said, let me escape there. All right? And again, it says here now in verse 21, it says, and he said to him, behold, the angel, God, he says what? I grant you this request. Now, the word behold, you know what it means? It's almost an idea in the Hebrew. So the Hebrew language paints pictures. So the picture that the angel was saying, when he said behold, he's saying, if you can see it. That's what it means. The phrase means, if he sees. But here's the thing. Lot wasn't looking with spiritual eyes. He was looking with carnal eyes. And so as a result of that, when he self-destruct, the first thing is God gave Lot over to a life of carnality and what? So watch this. Let me tell you what carnality is from a Christian perspective. Here's what it is. It refers to a state of being focused on worldly desires and pleasures, often leading one away from spiritual growth and close relationship with God. There are people who are in church. They come to church Sundays. But the majority of their time is spent in the world. And here's the thing. There's something they're not doing is prioritizing their spiritual life. So you can be a carnal Christian, watch this, and still think that I'm doing the right thing, but not truly experiencing the fullness of the blessings that God has for our lives because we're prioritizing the wrong things. Lot wanted to stay so close to Sodom because of curiosity. He wanted to see, and he thought in his mind, well, God ain't gonna really destroy. He didn't really think that it was gonna be so severe. So he wanted to stay around. But it was because of his carnality. And then worldliness from a Christian perspective refers to excessive attachment, watch this, to the values, pursuits, and behaviors of the secular world. Some of the things that we are doing as believers, it's not spiritual. It's self-help. Come on, help me somebody. It's rooted in psychology and it's rooted in the worldliness and carnality, and that's the reason why sometimes we don't see fruit. Oh, I'm gonna preach by myself today. I promise you I am. Amen. Watch this. Christians are encouraged, watch this, to live in the world but not be of the world. May I ask you a question? Amen. How closely connected are you? What are you doing spiritually in your life, watch this, to detach yourself from some of those things? And so Lot, when you self-destruct, Lot thought he got what he wanted. Lot, God was pleading with Lot no more. In other words, God said, okay, you want it, man? Have it. You know what I love about God? He ain't gonna strive with us. What I love about God is that he will give you the desires of your heart. Can I say this to you today? If your heart is for God, and if your heart is for the kingdom of God, oh, you will live that abundant life. You see, I'm not just so interested in success that I'm leaving God out. But see, Lot is a man who was given over to this life that looked righteous. But that's all it was. It looked righteous. But his location showed you where he really is. Watch how a person moves and where they hang out and where they live and who they hang out with, and you could tell who they really are. They'll be the first one in the front row saying, praise God. But when they leave here, there's no attachment to the kingdom. Are you with me? Look what he says. He says, behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Now, let me say this. It's not because of what Lot said. It's what had been done before. And so when we self-destruct, we got to understand this. God saved Lot because of Abraham's prayers. Let me help you with something. Even your enemies, you got to pray for them. Let me tell you something. The people that despitefully use you and talked about you and lied on you and all this kind of stuff, and they did you in and they did you wrong, the longer you hold on to them, the longer you're going to stay trapped. Amen. In bitterness, in anger, in malice, and living your life not in freedom from those feelings. So I say to you, listen, Abraham did nothing to Lot. But do you not know it's because of somebody's prayers that you're sitting here today? Listen, I would have given up a long time ago. I would have given up a long time ago had it not been for somebody praying for me. I was talking to one of my sons in the ministry this morning and on the way in, and I usually call them on Sunday mornings and pray for them. And he says, Pastor, he said, for some reason last night, the Lord put you on my heart, my wife and I on your heart, and I pray. I said, man, thank you. I don't know what I need, but God knows what I need. But the Bible does declare that the prayers of the righteous. See, what we got to start learning to do is start learning how to love each other. And watch this, and pray for one another. Don't just sit back and say, man, look at what he's going through. Man, I sure hope he do better. I sure hope he do right. No, pray for him. Pray for those that you don't see, that you used to see. Come on and help me. Because you don't know the condition of their hearts, but it may just be your prayers. And watch this, to God's ears. Come on, somebody. That rescues them. And I know sometimes people hurt us so bad that we want to see them go down. you understand what I'm saying? But that's not a good attitude. That's not a good attitude to have. All right? Listen, desperate was Lot. And Lot was not looking for reconciliation with God. Watch this. He's a good God. Come on, y'all. No. He's a great God. As we're weaving through these passages and these verses week after week, I hope you can see that the price that was paid was so amazing that God sent his son to die for us so that we can have access to all the things godly. And one of the greatest weapons that the believer has is prayer. Listen, Friday nights this month, every Friday night, if you want your breakthrough, come to this altar. There's somebody in your life that needs help. There's somebody in your life that needs healing. Now, we could look at Lot's attitude and say, man, I ain't fooling with him. But can I tell you something? You know what I see in this passage? I told you this 2 weeks ago. I see God's love. That he loved Lot, the righteous man. Lot saved. And there are a lot of saved people who are struggling. How many saved people are struggling? Amen. We're struggling with, y'all ain't trying. How many saved people I got struggling with something? And in your struggle, the way you get out of your struggle is by saying, pray for me. It's about being concerned for one another. So even though Lot deserved bad, even though Lot deserved to be wrote off, I know you want to write some people off. I want to write some people off too. I promise you I want to write them off. I promise you I don't want to fool with them no more. But what I found out is when I pray and God answers, you know what that is to me? Proof that I have a connection with the Master. You see, I'm not just praying for me. I'm praying for you. Not only am I praying for you, but I'm praying for my enemies. I'm praying for those who despitefully use me. I'm praying for those who borrow and don't return. I'm praying for those, come on and help me somebody. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, it says, what good is it when you love someone who love you? We don't get no credit for that. He says, what good is it if you love someone who despises you? You don't get no credit for that. He says, but the proof that you are righteous is when you can pray for somebody and you know that you know that you know that you know in your heart that you don't want to do it, but yet you do it anyhow. And then you see God move. Oh, tell your neighbor that's evidence. Now, listen. Abraham had prayed chapters back. And the only reason Lot, see, here's, let me help you real quick. When a person who is righteous is fallen, when they start like getting ahead, they think they're getting over. See, when those people that you know, right, that done wrong, you know they done wrong, right? And you see them doing better than you, oh man, they balling, shot calling. Oh, you better believe that's because of the grace of God. And let me tell you why God did not destroy Lot. Okay? Next point. Because of the next point. You see, when I fall and I feel condemned, but yet God restores me, or God tries to restore me, he wants me to pay attention. Here's what wants me to pay attention to. He wants me to pay attention to his love and his grace. And hopefully, if I can recognize that, man, you know what, Charlie? Should have lost that job. Yeah, I should have been fired. Amen. My car should have been repoed. Come on, help me, somebody. Yeah. I shouldn't have what I have. Matter of fact, they should have foreclosed on me a long time ago. But yet, somehow, God made a way. And when he makes a way, it is so that you and I can recognize, wow, I'm running back to God to say, God, thank you. But it doesn't always work that way, y'all. God keeps giving, and the unrighteous or the fallen believer keeps taking. God keeps giving, they keep taking. But then it comes a point where your grace starts running thin. It doesn't run out. Write that down somewhere. Grace never runs out. But it runs thin. Are you with me? So watch this. When your grace starts running thin, you ain't gonna get away with as much as you've been getting away with. See? And so I encourage you this way, that know who you are. Ask yourself, what is God trying to show me? He says, hurry, escape, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. It wasn't because of Lot. It was because of who Lot was positionally. See, I can't destroy this place till you get up out of here, man. All right? And look at last piece. He says, therefore, the name of the town was called what? Zora. And I told you last week that the word Zora means what? Little. And so I changed up the points a little bit. So just that you don't know, I preached the same sermon last week. So I know some of you got notes on me. You know how y'all take meticulous notes on me. I already know. So you went back. Hold on a minute. Didn't he do that? Yep. You can get 7 different points out of the same verse. Plus, you didn't get last week's anyways. So the last thing is this. Check this out. Lot gave up his blessings for passion and settled for little. The word Zora means small. You think you downsizing, but you ain't downsizing, you broke. So you want everybody to think that, oh no, I'm just trying to save some money right now. No, you broke. And they're coming to repo that car. I promise you they're coming to get it. That's grace running. Come on, help me somebody. And when grace runs thin, stuff like that start happening. Now you're on the bus. For real. Like God said, all right, you didn't get it before. You ain't getting it. So I got to put you on the bus. You know why I got to put you on the bus? Because here's the thing. Because you keep on just doing the opposite of what I'm asking. Here's the thing about Zora. Here's the thing you need to know about Zora. Zora is one of the cities, watch this, attacked by and defeated and was invaded by from the east, watch this, and its citizens were saved by Abraham. Zora was also one of the cities that God had appointed to destroy. But because Lot was there, God kept it. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. I'm trying to help you with something. You being a Christian means something. Maybe the company is thriving because of you. I don't think you hear me. But if you ain't tithing, then you ain't no different than the company. Oh, yeah. Because giving is part of your worship. Giving is part of how you're blessed. Company is still surviving in a recession because you, the righteous person, is there. The business is still thriving because you're there and you're doing what you're supposed to do. Lot wasn't doing anything, but yet God still spirited. But it was on thin grace. Next week we'll look at what happens next. And so as I leave you today, I say this to you. Don't self-destruct. Don't get to the point in life where you and I, we can't appreciate what God is trying to do. I told you about duck hunters, right? They use decoys. And these decoys today have become pretty fancy. All right, the decoys, they quack like a duck, they move like a duck. Matter of fact, they even act like a duck. All right, matter of fact, the ducks think they're real ducks. But in the end, they end up being dead ducks because they can't tell what's real. For the Christian, there are many decoys out there. And their job is, you know what their job is to do? Their job is to extract you from the intimate experience of your faith. So what we got to look to, we have to look beyond what a person says, how they perform, and determine if they real. We got to evaluate by testing the spirit by the spirit, because there's somebody who may want to pull you to little when you head into major. We got to be on guard for the decoys moving around us, acting like the real thing in order to deceive you. And so I say to you today as I close, pay attention, saints. Where is God trying to position you? Where is he trying to move you to? Matter of fact, what are you trying to get so bad that you're willing, some of us, we are in, whenever you are in a frantic search for happiness, it means that you are now living your Christian life in reverse mode. Because the Bible says God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness.